Would you pray with me? Lord, our Creator and Redeemer, you could have chosen to reveal yourself in a billion different ways, but you specifically chose to do so through a book. In Psalm 119, verse 2, you said, "Blessed are those who keep your testimonies, who seek you with their whole heart." Would you make that true for us here at Christ Community Church this morning? Help us to keep your testimonies. Help us to seek you with our whole heart and so be blessed. Show us the beauty of who Jesus is in a way we've never seen before. For the honor of your name alone, we pray. Amen. Isn't it arrogant for Christians to claim there's only one way to God? Rabbi Zacharias writes, "It's important to understand that Christianity is not the only religion that claims exclusivity. Muslims believe that the sole sufficient and consummate miracle of Islam is the Quran. They say it's only recognizable in Arabic and that any translation desacralizes it. Hinduism itself is absolutely uncompromising on two or three issues: the law of karma, which is the law of moral cause and effect, so that every birth is a rebirth that makes recompense for the previous life; the authority of the Vedas, their scriptures; and reincarnation. Then there are the atheists. They totally reject the viewpoints of those who believe in God. Therefore, the statement that Christians are arrogant by claiming exclusivity ignores the reality that every other religion does as well." So when people talk of arrogance, this cannot be a logical attack that they are making. Another person in history and around the world. The title of my message this morning is this: Jesus Stands Alone. Jesus stands alone. I'd have 4 points I'd like to share with you based on this passage. Number one, Jesus alone can take away your sins. Two, Jesus alone is eternal. Three, Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. And four, Jesus alone is the Son of God. Number one, Jesus alone can take away your sins. Look with me at verse 29. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" The day after John the Baptist was interrogated by the priests and Levites about his identity that we talked about last weekend, he now sees with his own eyes the Lord Jesus Christ walking in his direction. Imagine that for a moment. John the Baptist makes this stunning and biblically rich statement about Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He exclaims, he announces, he proclaims, like a man who has discovered the cure for cancer. "Look, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Stop what you're doing and listen to the sound of my voice. I have good news. I have a life-changing announcement. Jesus is the Lamb of God." But what did John the Baptist mean when he calls Jesus the Lamb of God? If you don't come from a Jewish background, it seems like a strange thing to call someone, right? What a weird thing to say. Lamb of God. Mark Strauss writes, "The title Lamb of God indicates sacrificial death. Recalling the Passover lamb in Exodus 12, the daily sacrifices in the temple, and Isaiah's suffering servant who is led like a lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7. So when John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, He is pointing his hearers back to the Old Testament and saying, everything the sacrifices symbolized, Jesus is here to fulfill. Substitution is at the heart of what Jesus came to accomplish for those who believe in him. As the Old Testament lamb served as a substitute for Israel, so in the New Testament, Jesus is the Lamb of God who served as a substitute for us who believe. John T. Rhodes writes, just as when you buy a new TV on a credit card, you initially pay nothing, but acknowledge that one day the bill will have to be settled. So for centuries, God's people have been doing this when they trusted in his covenant gospel. But their sin still needs to be paid for. The new covenant will have to pick up the tab. Or rather, it will be established by the man who will. The Old Testament sacrifices were signs pointing to Jesus. Jesus was the goal the entire time. These are not a random collection of stories with no center. Jesus is the center. That's what John the Baptist is saying. He is the true Lamb of God Israel had been waiting for all along. So what does this mean for you? It means that Jesus alone can take away your sins too. If you will turn from your sins in repentance and trust in Jesus by faith, Jesus alone will take away the guilt for your sins. He will take away the guilt for your idolatry. Not talking about statues of wood and stone, but your tendency to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Jesus alone can take away the guilt for your lies. Every time you spoke untruths to avoid punishment or to protect yourself or to avoid embarrassment with other people. Jesus alone can take the guilt for your anger. The murder of the heart that he taught us is just as evil as taking someone's life. Jesus alone can take away the guilt for your lust. The adultery of the heart that he taught us is just as evil as a physical relationship with someone who is not your heterosexual spouse. You don't have to carry the weight of your wrongdoing not a minute longer. Not a minute longer. You don't have to carry your transgressions. You don't have to carry your failures. You do not have to carry the baggage of your past any longer. Right here, right now, Jesus offers you a life-changing thing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus alone can take away your sins. Secondly, Jesus alone is eternal. Look with me at verses 30 to 31. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. So Jesus alone can take away your sins, and Jesus alone is eternal. Here, John the Baptist reminds his audience of what he said earlier, what we talked about last week, contrasting himself with Jesus. He says that while Jesus came after John the Baptist in terms of his physical birth as a human, Jesus holds a rank that is higher than that of John the Baptist because he alone is eternal. John Frame writes, eternity means that God has complete power over time. Time does not limit God as it limits us. We are limited by our beginning and end. God is not. We are limited by change. God is not. We are ignorant of the past and the future. God sees all times with equal vividness. We are frustrated because time passes too quickly for us to complete our tasks, or so slowly that we become bored. But God is never limited in these ways. A day with him is as 1,000 years, and vice versa. Unlike John the Baptist, unlike you and I, Jesus, as God in the flesh alone, is eternal. And John says that he did not fully know this Jesus, but for that purpose he came baptizing with water, that Jesus might be revealed to the people of Israel. John was an instrument, as we said last week, a tool, a vessel in the hands of the Redeemer. He was meant to show Israel who this Jesus really is, and Jesus alone is eternal. C.S. Lewis said that if you could think of a sheet of paper infinitely extending in all directions, and if you took a pencil and made a line 1 inch long on it, that would be time. When you started to push your pencil, it was the beginning of time, and when you lifted it off the paper, it was the end of time. And all around, infinitely extended in all directions, is God. That is a picture of what it means to say that Jesus alone is eternal. So when you think about the problems of your life, when you think about the pain you may be experiencing at this very present moment, grief, suffering, trials of various kinds, you may be tempted to believe, maybe even at this very moment, that it'll last forever, that your suffering will indeed never end. Know that there is, in fact, a time when all of your trials will come to a close. Know that there will be a day when your grief will be no more. Jesus sees your misery from a vantage point that you can never wrap your mind around. Jesus sees your temporary pain from his eternal perspective. Jesus is able to offer you hope here and now because he sees things from there and then. He is not limited by your vantage point. He sees what is coming down the road. And if you are trusting in Jesus, he promises that it is ultimately for your good. Though it's hard to believe, though the darkness seems overwhelming, Jesus alone is eternal. Third, Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. Look with me at verses 32 to 33. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus alone can take away your sins. Jesus alone is eternal, and Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. John the Baptist continues to explain what he has seen with his very own eyes. He says that he saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven to earth like a dove upon Jesus. And then it remained on him. And though he didn't fully know Jesus, God the Father, who sent John the Baptist to baptize with water, says to him that when you see the Spirit come down from heaven upon Jesus, then you'll know that Jesus is the one who will indeed baptize you with his Holy Spirit. One Christian statement of faith puts it this way: what do we believe about the Holy Spirit? That he is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And that God grants him irrevocably, in other words, never to take it back, to all who believe. So this person, Holy Spirit, is himself God, along with the Father and the Son. And he is a gift given to all who trust in Jesus. This idea of the Holy Spirit being given as a gift to all who believe in Jesus was promised all throughout the Old Testament. This wasn't new for the Jews at the time. Those who knew their Bible, those who read the Old Testament, knew that a day was coming when God would give of himself to his people in full measure forever. Not in part, but the whole. Not temporarily, but for all eternity. Andreas Kostenberger writes that the Spirit did not merely descend on Jesus, he remained on him, a sign of Jesus' divine anointing. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people to enable them to accomplish certain God-given tasks. In other words, it was to do certain things. But Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would be full of the Spirit at all times. And not only this, but the Father and the Son give the same Spirit to all who believe in Jesus. In and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the people of God become united to Christ by faith in such a way that they can never, ever be separated from God again. This is good news. God will never abandon you. If you are trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has baptized you, and you will remain in him and he in you now and always. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. Picture with me the symbolism of water baptism for a moment. Think about it. You descend into the water, fully immersed into the water in such a way that your whole body becomes completely surrounded by the water. In the baptism of the Spirit, that which every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ experiences, you become fully immersed in the Spirit in such a way that your whole life becomes completely surrounded by the Spirit. You now see the world in a brand new way. Your life, just as it became marked by the symbol of water baptism, now becomes marked by the baptism of the Spirit. You no longer see your relationship with Jesus as simply you and Jesus, but you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who unites you to Jesus by faith. This is why Jesus baptizes you with his Spirit, so that all the blessings of the Father and the Son become yours by faith. The Spirit takes all that the Father has planned and the Son has accomplished and applies it to you by faith. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. So what does this mean for you? It means that you should not only praise the Father for planning your salvation, not only praise the Son for accomplishing your salvation, but praise the Spirit for applying your salvation. We worship the Trinity. Not only should you praise, moreover, the Spirit, but ask God to help you depend on this very same Spirit for your ongoing sanctification. The New Testament uses this word to describe how we become more like Jesus, how we die to our sins and become alive to Christ. And that's what the Spirit helps us accomplish. Ask that God would fill you with his Spirit in such a way that you reflect your Savior in your thoughts, in your words, and in your deeds. Ask that your everyday life become a Spirit-dependent life, a life that is reliant upon the Spirit, desperate for the Spirit, conscious of the Spirit, as the one by whom, in whom, and through whom you are able to live your life for the glory of God. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. Fourth, Jesus alone is the Son of God. Jesus alone is the Son of God. Look with me at verse 34. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So Jesus alone can take away your sins. Jesus alone is eternal. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit. And fourth and finally, Jesus alone is the Son of God. John the Baptist says that he has seen with his own eyes and he testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. But just what does the phrase Son of God mean anyways? We don't use that every day. It means that Jesus has a unique relationship with God the Father that no one has ever had nor will ever have. There never was a time when Jesus was not the Son of God. He is eternally the Son of God. Before you trusted in Jesus by faith, and then became an adopted child of God, Jesus was already the Son of God. Before time itself existed, before creation came into being, Jesus was the Son of God. You can become a child of God by adoption, and if you trust in Jesus Christ, you will. But Jesus is the Son of God by nature. So in a sense, the phrase Son of God is a title that is reserved for Jesus alone. Jesus alone is the Son of God. We kind of get a picture of this when it comes to how families adopt children today, right? If a husband and wife have a biological child, that child is their son or daughter by his or her very nature. But if a husband and wife legally adopt a child into their family, if they adopt a son into their family, that son is their son by adoption. So it is with all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We become sons or children of God by adoption, but Jesus, you see, Jesus is not like us in that regard. Jesus has always been God's son, God's unique, one-of-a-kind son. He has a special, eternal relationship with the Father. Jesus alone is the Son of God. So what does this mean for you? It means that when you come to Jesus by faith, you are coming to someone who has full access to God the Father. You are coming to someone who serves as a mediator, a go-between you and his Father. If you trust in Jesus, the Father will never reject you because he will never reject his Son. The Father loves you with the same love that he loves his Son, because if you're trusting in him, you're hidden in him. All of your faults, all of your failures are hidden in Christ if you are trusting in him this morning. When you come to the Father through Jesus, his Father becomes your Father. When you come to Jesus, the Son of God, you too become a son or child of God. This is good news. It means that all of the access that Jesus has to his Father, you too now have by faith in the Son of God. You do not have to be an orphan any longer. You are no longer separated. You do not have to live a fatherless life. No matter what the record of your biological father, you now have a perfect one in heaven. No matter how your biological father treated you or failed to treat you, you have a father in heaven, a perfect one. Heaven no longer has to be a far and far away place for you, because in Jesus, the Son of God, you have access to all that God the Father offers to his Son. Jesus alone is the Son of God. Friends, Jesus stands alone. There has never been anyone like him in all of history and around the world. He is truly unique. No one has ever said the things Jesus has said. No one has ever made the claims Jesus has made. And no one has ever done the things that Jesus himself has done. Yes, it's true that the religions of the world share some things in common. But when it comes to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, Jesus stands alone. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus alone can take away your sins. Jesus alone is eternal. Jesus alone can baptize you with his Spirit, and Jesus alone is the Son of God. Come to this Jesus today. He will not reject you. He welcomes you with open arms, not on the basis of your record, but on his. Join me in prayer. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your Son into this world for our salvation, for the salvation of sinners like us. We confess that we have not trusted in Jesus alone this week, nor have we gone to Jesus alone for our help and our hope. Instead, we have run to idols, Lord, merely created things for that which Jesus alone provides. Thank you for your mercy towards us and giving us the opportunity this morning to redirect ourselves to you. Give us a willingness, I pray, to lay down our search for alternatives to Jesus that suit our carnal desires. May we find Jesus to be enough. May we find him to be enough now, and may we find him to be enough forever. For your glory, we pray. Amen.